Yeah, talk a bit of cricket, talk a little bit of New South Wales Champions of Sport. We've got that big ceremony. You're heading there on Monday night, next Monday at the Star in Sydney. Loz, it's going to be an outstanding night, elevated into that legend status or into the Hall of Champions. Will be former Australian cricket great Lisa Stelaker. She's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Lisa.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're really well. We spoke to Lauren Jackson yesterday. She made the point, look, you don't play the sport for these reasons, and I know you'll probably say the same, but, gee, it's nice to be acknowledged in this way.
It is. I think it's at the end of your career, you kind of look back, and probably what you miss the most is the friendships that you made and the places that you went to. But certainly to be acknowledged like this amongst some people who I highly regard, and loved watching myself is a kind of a pinch yourself moment.
Yeah, Lisa, you did it all. You captained Australia and you won two World Cups. But where did your love of cricket start?
It started in the backyard, like most kids. My father was a passionate cricket supporter, and he used to take me out in the backyard and throw me balls. And I remember going to the SCG when I was probably about 8 or 9 and getting dressed up and watching the guys play and thought this was pretty cool, and then just saw kids play on the weekend, not knowing that they were all boys, and wanted to play the game of cricket.
What about the way women's cricket has evolved, especially over the last few years? You must be proud watching, commentating, looking at how this current group of girls is going, because really you've been that pathway. These young females that are now performing at a high level have watched you and watched your ability, and you're their hero.
Well, I don't know if I'm their hero, but certainly it's really pleasing to see where the women's game has gone over the last few years. The fact that the Australian players are now fully contracted, they can spend all their time, as much as their time, playing the game, travelling, the amount of matches that they're playing now, and certainly from a domestic point of view, the conditions have improved. Love to get them to be fully professional as well and playing, you know, bigger seasons. But it's just been amazing. The fact that I retired in 2013, 6 years later, we've got the situation that we're seeing. I never thought it would come this quickly. I thought it would come, but certainly so pleased for the girls. And they're wonderful ambassadors, and it's exciting times for women's sport in general.
Any explanation as to why it's happened so quickly? Because I totally agree with you. It seems over the course of about two seasons or two years that whether it's NRLW, AFLW, certainly WBBL, we've just had this incredible pay deal that the Matildas have been able to negotiate. Do you know why it's happened so quickly, Lisa?
Well, I think a combination of a couple of things. Firstly, the sporting organisations realise, especially the male-dominated organisations, realise that there was half a population that they weren't quite hitting the mark on.
Yeah.
And then secondly, we've got to be conscious of the fact that broadcast and print media and everyone getting behind women's sport, and the fact that you can watch it on free-to-air TV means that young boys and girls realise sport is for everyone, and you can actually follow a team. You can see the stars. You realise, okay, you know, Elise Perry, Elisa Healy, Megan Shute, they're girls that I want to aspire to become. Mm. Whereas when I first started playing cricket, I actually didn't even know there was an Australian women's cricket team. So that makes a massive difference. And like I said, with that and the combination of the national boards pouring in a lot more money, not only at the top level, but grassroots, we've seen this huge spike.
You mentioned at board level and the amount of money now that coming into the grassroots level and in all forms of the game. You've just been appointed to the Australian Cricketers Association board. So moving forward with the women's game, what are some of the things you'd like to see happen under your watch?
Firstly, it's nice to kind of rejoin the ACA board. I was on it a few years ago, and that was when we got the big MOU agreement. But certainly, as I mentioned, I think our Australian women's team are certainly well looked after. They're playing a lot of cricket at the moment. We're seeing T20 leagues around the world come up, so that means they're playing more and more. But like I mentioned, I'd love to see our domestic players. They're pretty much semi-professional. I'd love to get them into a situation where they're fully professional and they're playing more 50-over formats throughout the season. And that will allow Australia to keep having this successful production line that produces some wonderful cricketers that, as soon as they come into Australian colours, they have a huge impact already on an international stage.
So would you say that's the biggest challenge facing women's cricket?
I wouldn't say it's the biggest challenge. I'd say that we're in a pretty good position compared to a number of other sports. But I think one thing that women's sport has done really well is that we're firstly very supportive of every other organisation and the athletes involved. We kind of stick together. But certainly one sport will kind of edge in front, whether it be the parental leave policy or MOU or whatever it may be, business class flights, and then the other sports start following. So it takes one or two to kind of lead the way, and I certainly feel that cricket, again, can lead the way from a domestic point of view.
Yeah, our women are certainly leading the way in terms of the strength of the game here in Australia. Numbers are growing, and you mentioned Alyssa Healy and Elise Perry. They're some just absolute superstars and household names here in Australian sport.
The broadcast numbers are unbelievable as well. Mm. You're getting huge numbers to watch these WBBL games, which is so encouraging for not only the players, but also for the broadcasters.
Yes, certainly. The fact that I think, what was it, two Sundays ago or last Sunday? I can't remember. It all kind of rolls into one, but we outdid the Australian men's T20 team. So just shows you that certainly the public are enjoying the brand of cricket that the female players are playing, but also from a broadcast point of view, I know Channel 7 has put in a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort to make sure that it showcases the best of the females. And I think we're certainly doing that. And it's a wonderful relationship. And you know, we're seeing the roaming mics, we're seeing players mic'd up, giving us so much insight into who they are and their personality. And it's not just the usual stars, it's the others that have quirky little stories. We're finding that all out. So certainly it's very entertaining. I have a ball in the commentary box. So I hope everyone else has a ball watching it.
100 days to go, and a big article in today's paper about this T20 World Cup. You must be excited for that world competition to come to our shores. And in regards to the performance of the Aussies, obviously we are seeing them going through this dominant phase, but it's actually at this level, at least from the T20 point of view, there's a number of other teams around the world that can actually give us a run for our money.
Yeah, look, 100 days to go today, which is exciting, and T20 World Cup organisation just announced as well that Katy Perry will be playing in the final at the MCG, both pre and post the match. So that's a big get, massive get. And they're trying to obviously sell out the MCG on International Women's Day as well. So fingers crossed we can get there, but certainly, the Australian team has been dominant in this shortest format. But we all know T20 cricket, anything can happen. And probably one team I think that will really challenge the Australian team is the Indian side. I've certainly seen them over the last probably year start to have a core group of players. There's a young 15-year-old, Shefali Verma, who just scored. She's the youngest player, male or female, to score a half century for a country, beating Sachin Tendulkar. And she's only 15 and wow. I don't know how many days. But they're over in the West Indies playing at the moment. And she's certainly an exciting prospect. So for me, I'd love to see an Australia-India final. I think that's one way of selling out the MCG. But it would just add so much atmosphere to this event. And we're building up nicely for it. Certainly, the WBBL plays an important role because a lot of the international players are out here playing our competition, getting used to the conditions and also at the Australian girls. So there's a lot to play for at the moment, but certainly everyone's looking ahead to the T20 World Cup.
Yeah, we're looking ahead to Monday too. The New South Wales Champions of Sport ceremony, you're going to be inducted into the Hall of Champions, and quite rightly so. Congratulations on that, Lisa, and thanks very much for joining us this morning.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Lisa Stalaker there, Channel 7. You can see her there. You can hear her on the airwaves as well. She's a star. She's a great commentator too. Lisa Salaker, very, very well prepared. We've got a couple of double passes to give away to that event in Sydney at the Star Monday night. You'll be there, Loz. It's from 6 p.m, the New South Wales Champions of Sports ceremony. So call now if you can tell us how many times Lisa Salaker has been awarded Australian Women's Cricketer of the Year. Two double passes to give away. So call now on 13 53 53. How many times has Lisa Salaker been awarded Australian Women's Cricketer of the Year?